responsibility for these actions and take that stand and fight back.
Great. Yeah, that's I agree 100%. How about any last things to say, Wendy?
We
just have a minute, less than a minute.
Actually, we have 10 seconds.
10 seconds, sorry.
Okay, no, I want to say thank you to everyone who's helping us out and acknowledging and really taking the initiative to listen and learn and grow with us. It's imperative to the future generations and to our current life, actually.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, thank you both for being on. And I look forward to having more of the discussion. Thanks.
All right. That's it for Wednesday Talk Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to be a founding sponsor of the Waterfront Blues Festival. This year, the festival will be held June 30th through July 4th at Tom McCall Waterfront Park. Festival passes are on sale now, including the Blues Buddy Pass and the basic 5-day pass at early bird prices. More information about the passes, the festival, and more can be found at kboo.fm/WBF2017.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to host Chris Hedges Friday, May 26th at 7 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater in Portland. Hedges takes a provocative look at the current state of revolt in the United States and will recount the U.S.'s continuing history of domestic terrorism while outlining ways for communities to resist before it's too late. Again, that's Chris Hedges Friday, May 26th at 7 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater, 3017 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. It's KBOO, KBOO Portland. Here's what we have coming up for you for public affairs programming this morning. Justice Deferred starts off the 3 hours this morning. The story of a Portland man shuffled through the criminal justice system, even though he didn't commit a crime. At 10 o'clock, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 o'clock, The Dirtbag tells you how to thin fruit and vegetables to enhance your final crops. And we thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not yet a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking where it says Donate. Thank you for doing that. And now we move on to political perspectives and Justice Deferred.
This is a special KBOO program called Justice Deferred. This version of the program is a very pared-down one of what will air. This is a special KBOO program called Justice Deferred. This version of the program is a very pared-down one of what will air, hopefully later this week, on KBOO, and is a rebroadcast of an interview from Voices from the Edge with Joanne Hardesty, along with other interviews conducted in KBOO studios.
Tonight, drugs and money smuggled on Amtrak. A KGW investigation looks at how police and federal agents are targeting one specific train line.
But are these drug cops going too far profiling innocent passengers? KGW's Kylie Boshi spent weeks looking into this train line and complaints from passengers. And Kyle, these aren't street-level drug dealers that police are going after.
No, these are big-time drug traffickers. Already this year, police have seized more than $250,000 in cash from Amtrak passengers suspected of moving drugs through Oregon. Mostly marijuana, but it's the tactics used by police and federal agents to try and intercept this drug money that has some passengers complaining.
You know, you get caught, some days you don't.
If they had probable cause that somebody on the train had something on them, then yeah, then maybe they could be there. But other than that, there's no reason. You know, it's a fishing expedition.
Amtrak passenger Merrick Bonneau,
surprise, you know, but
argues innocent passengers are getting caught up in this drug sweep.
I mean, it was my sense that they targeted this train.
When the Portland man got off the train on April 13th, he and other Amtrak passengers were confronted by a drug team made up of local police, a federal Homeland Security agent, and a drug sniffing dog.
There was no reason for there to be a checkpoint with dogs. You know, we're all getting off a train, we're all local.
The plainclothes officers told Merrick the police dog alerted to his bags. Merrick admitted to having a vape pen and a medical marijuana card, but he wasn't transporting any illegal drugs. Officers put Merrick in handcuffs and hauled him to the police station. Police reports show he was held in a cell and questioned for nearly 6 hours before officers determined he had no drugs and was free to go.
I wanted this to be an awesome trip, and it comes, you know, at the end of it, it turns into a nightmare where people are getting searched and I'm being arrested for no reason.
Merrick got an attorney and plans to sue police and federal agents because of their tactics profiling Amtrak passengers.
They could say this about anything. The bus line, we're going to take everyone off the bus. We heard that there are things going on bus number 12 south on Barber. You don't do that. You know, we don't have checkpoints.
Police can't comment because of pending litigation. But generally speaking, they say those drug interdiction tactics have held up in court. And by focusing on this train line, officers say they're able to disrupt the flow of drugs and money.
We have a lot more to share about this story, but we just don't have time. So we've posted a longer version of our story on our website, kgw.com, along with photos and key documents from our investigation. Back to you.
Perhaps this only speaks to my relative privilege, but I haven't encountered anyone with a relationship to the police quite like Merrick Bonneau. Merrick's been arrested 3 times in 3 entirely different circumstances. We'll get into that in a moment, but first it's important to understand some basic facts of Merrick's life. Merrick is in his early 40s, from Portland, born and raised. He dresses simply and has an unassuming presence and energy to him. Nothing that, even in our casually racist, white-dominant city, even to the most George Zimmerman caliber of anti-black bias, would evoke as threatening. His first arrest occurred in 1999 and took place a few moments after he answered his front door to the Portland police. His record says that he was arrested for resisting arrest, which seems like a joke, but was actually the subject of an entire multiple-hour-long city council meeting, and was very real. Merrick's second arrest happened after he was held at gunpoint by a man that ambushed him as Merrick was attempting to feed a malnourished dog. This story is equally as head-scratchy. His third and most recent arrest took place last year. His third and most recent arrest took place last year on the platform of a Portland Central Station Amtrak line as he was disembarking from the train that took him outside the Pacific Northwest for the first time in his life. Despite not ever having been convicted of a crime or even brought to jail for being found of any wrongdoing, Merrick has charges on his record and a whole assortment of police run-ins that officers see in their databases every time they run his name. This is a story about someone whose life illustrates what happens when individuals born into a suspicious-looking body try to live their lives like most around them. Even when a great deal of precaution is taken, even when it's the year 2017 and you live in a post-racial America in a progressively touted city, people with dark skin confoundingly face treatment that their more structurally privileged neighbors will never know. Merrick's story of legal targeting, retaliation, and manipulation at the hands of the Portland Police Department has dramatically altered the course of his life. The trajectory of Merrick's life is undeniably shaped by his encounters with the Portland Police. In this program, I want to show you but one example of someone whose story paints an all-too-real picture of racism in our institutions at home, though I'm going to let Merrick do most of the storytelling from here on out.
Get up, stand up.
Good morning, good morning. I'm Joanne Hardesty, and welcome to Voices from the Edge. As you get your way to wherever you're headed this morning, buy a hot tea or coffee and give it to someone who doesn't have shelter today. What a horrible day to be out in the street. Just want to send some love out and just be mindful of the fact that some of us have a lot more than others. And so that's not my program today. However, I want to welcome to the studio Merrick Bonneau. And did I say that right?
Yep. Hello. Oh,
excellent.
Yep.
To the studio. He is a Portland native and until a few years ago had been a longtime wrestling coach and referee in Portland. Currently, he's a home care provider for his elderly mom and chief sponsor for the Hemp Party. Welcome to the studio, Merrick.
Thank you, Joanne. Appreciate that.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Now, you are in a unique place. It's been almost 15 years since the Portland City Council has reviewed a complaint against Portland Police Bureau that's made it all the way up the chain to the City Council. And so let's set some context for our listeners. Explain your experience with Portland Police. What started on September 4th, 1999? What happened?
Well, I was at home, and ultimately I was arrested by the police. They had knocked on my door, and I had answered it and asked me if my name was Mark. I told them my name was Merrick. They said I was under arrest, grabbed me immediately, proceeded to wrench my arms behind my back. They slammed me down on my front porch, basically cuffed me hands and feet, hog tied me, and carried me by the chain spanning my hog tie to the car. Left me like that in the car, left me like that in the police precinct. And
how much time do you think went by from when they hog tied you until they untied you?
Probably well over an hour, maybe approaching a couple hours.
Okay, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. And, you know, I suffered permanent neck and back injuries. I got a dislocated shoulder, a chip bone in my elbow, a fractured wrist, and ultimately lost a wrestling scholarship because of that. And, you know, it began a really terrible process in my life.
And so that was September 4th, 1999.
Right. Yeah, I was 23.
And you were 23 years old.
Right.
And so were you charged, convicted? Did you?
I was charged with resisting arrest. The police maliciously prosecuted me for that. I was found not guilty in court. So, yeah.
So you're home.
Right.
They come and they're looking for Mark. And your name is Merrick.
No, they were looking for a Mitch.
A Mitch. Yes. A Mitch. And you say, nope, that's not me.
I said, no, my name is Merrick, and said I was under arrest and grabbed me.
And then on April 6th, 2000, what happened? Oh, I'm going through your, I'm sorry. I'm going through the timeline that you sent me.
Oh, yeah.
You filed a lawsuit?
Yeah, right. The attorney I had filed lawsuit against the city and against the officers involved, against the Portland police. And that was for
$25 million.
It was a $25 million lawsuit.
And the city first offered you $35,000 plus attorney fees.
Right.
And medical expenses.
Right. And you know, my attorney laughed at that, and we left that proceeding.
Okay. And then what happened?
Then I was taken down to a settlement conference in Eugene where I had no help, had no relatives or anybody with me for support.
So how does that happen? I mean, you get a phone call that says what?
My attorney basically said that he wanted to, that they were setting up another settlement conference and I needed to go. He said it would make me look good in court, so I decided to go. Originally, I did not want to go because, you know, I wanted to face my accusers in court.
So. Right. And so the conference was over 13 hours long?
Yeah. It started at 10 in the morning, ended around a little past 11 at night.
No breaks, no meals?
No breaks, no meals. Didn't get dinner. Ultimately, I settled under duress, was manipulated and lied into that settlement.
I'm sure my listeners are thinking the same thing I'm thinking. So you have a lawyer.
Right.
Your lawyer says, okay, the city's ready to sit down and talk. You go to Eugene, and how can you not take breaks and go and have meals in a 10-hour conversation? You're not under arrest. You're not in a locked building, are you?
No, I was at
in a conference room.
Room, basically, yeah. And we never broke. I mean, it was basically the judge going from my side to and the city attorneys and all that. They were in a different conference room, so I didn't.
So they were going back and forth between the two.
Yeah, right. So the judge was just going back and forth between, you know, the two parties. And
maybe I'm just naive because that just seems ludicrous to me. I mean, I would just say, I got to go eat. I'm out of here. I'll be back in an hour, right?
Yeah, it would have been awesome if I would have had that option given to me, you know. You know, my attorney sat there the whole time. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous, you know.
Okay, I'm getting sidetracked because that just makes me just crazy.
Yeah.
And so, okay, so you settled for $80,000.
Under duress.
Say under duress, not including attorney fees or medical expenses.
Right, and I attempted to fire my attorney the next day. The city would not allow me to fire my attorney. The city ultimately forced through the settlement agreement, even though I completely repudiated it. Then my attorney, because I would not accept the settlement agreement, my attorney filed a lien against me for like $63,000 and, you know, ultimately sued me because I wouldn't accept the settlement.
Okay. And so what's next? Then you were arrested again.
Right. My second arrest was, in the summer of 2003. I was still in the process of, you know, being sued and countersuing my attorney at that time. And I basically was coming home from my girlfriend's at the time, and I see this dog behind a fence, and turned out the dog was like 22 years old. But I just saw the dog as a dog that needed help. It looked like it was suffering and probably dying. And so I immediately went home, got food and water for the dog, came back, proceeded to give the dog food and water, and the gentleman, I won't want to say gentleman, this guy that looked like an old, you know, drug addict, jumped out of an abandoned car and, you know, basically held a gun at me and told me to get down on my ground, and he proceeded to tie me up and ended up shooting the gun off right next to my head and up in the air. You know, it was insane. You know what I mean? The whole time the guy was threatening to kill me. And, you know, and when the police arrived, you know, I'm the one that gets arrested, not him. You know, they confiscate his gun, retrieve the bullet that was in the ground, and arrested me. So.
And you were charged with what?
Well, from my understanding, from my point of view, I was never charged. I was taken in. I was not booked. I was not photographed. I was not ticketed. I was left without paperwork. And they basically said that they had 2 years that they could charge me with something and left it at that. So, and then I never heard another word from him. So I never thought I was charged. Mm. And up until my most recent arrest, which was last year at Amtrak, I got my arrest record and saw that I had actually been charged for the second arrest for trespassing. And, you know, I was never ticketed. I was never aware of the charge. And come to find out that the charge came within a week of my being arrested, and they had went it through a went through a judicial process without there being a judge assigned to the case, and dismissed it within 3 weeks, just over 3 weeks of my being arrested. So they just ran through a charge real fast on me and put it on my arrest record.
Hmm. Okay. And so.
And it was dismissed, that charge. But on my arrest record today, it still does not show that it was dismissed. And I was found not guilty in my first charge, and that does not show that, you know, I was found not guilty. So right now, they still look like active charges against me.
On your record today?
On my arrest record today, yes.
And so next... So that was your last arrest.
That was my second arrest.
That was your second arrest. And that was at Amtrak.
No, my last arrest was at Amtrak. This was just last year.
Okay. And so what happened at Amtrak?
Well, I went on my first vacation. I went to New York. And, you know, I come to find out that Amtrak and the DEA and Homeland Security target people who travel one way and pay in cash. I traveled one way and I paid in cash. I wasn't sure how long I was going to stay there for, so I didn't know. You know, I paid in cash because I don't believe in credit cards and, you know, our debt system. So,
and that's not illegal.
No,
to pay in cash or travel one way.
No, there's nothing suspicious about that.
So what happened?
So, they targeted me because I traveled one way and paid in cash, and I believe profiled me, because ultimately they changed my race from black to white. See, previously from 1999 on until 2016, they had me labeled as a black man, and, you know, I'm not a black man. And then they changed my race to white, and I'm not a white person. So, you know, I mean, it's ridiculous. So,
so how do you self-identify?
I'm mixed. Yeah. You know, mixed race.
Yeah, they don't have that on the box.
No. And, you know, I mean, it's pretty much impossible to, you know, speak to me, to basically interrogate me for six and a half hours and think I'm a white individual. You know what I mean? That's right. Impossible. So.
Well, let me just stop you for a second.
Sure.
If you're just joining the conversation, I am talking to Marek Bono, and he is going to be in front of the Portland City Council with his complaint, which has worked its way through the IPR process. And so, as you know, if someone files a complaint against Portland Police, the independent police review can review the complaint. If there's an appeal of the findings, it then goes to the CRC, which is the Citizen Review Committee. If the Citizen Review Committee agree, what's the process that, why don't you tell people, like, step by step, like, why are you in front of the city council the first time in 15 years that someone's done that?
Because
you've gone through how many steps in this appeal process so far?
Well, this is the why I'm going before city council now is regarding my the false charges that the police have put on my arrest record. And
so they're still there.
Still there.
They still show up.
Well, not only that, like with respect to the first charge of resisting arrest, on my arrest record, the police put assault. So, you know, I was never charged with assault. So, you know, they basically made me look like a violent felon when I was found not guilty for a misdemeanor resist arrest charge that was supposed to be expunged from my record, and the city still has not expunged it from my record. So
let me stop you for just a sec. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 503-231-8187. And so what do you hope the city council does?
Well, you know, I'm going before city council to air the light. You know, I already went, my process went before city council. I was the first complaint to rise to the city council. That was in, back in 2001. And, you know, it's the city were basically exonerated. They were found sustained, the findings against them. So, and that, you know, went directly against what the CRC wanted.
Wait, say that again. So the CRC recommended what?
They recommended to find fault with the police.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was back in 2001.
Right.
And you went to the city council when?
I believe that was August 13th, 2001.
2001.
Right.
And so even then, because of the sustained finding from the CRC, it made its way to the city council.
Well, it
they recommended, rather, a sustained finding.
They recommended to finding a fault. The city attorneys wanted a sustained finding.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
And what did the city council do in 2001?
They ultimately sustained it.
And what happened?
Ultimately, the police got off. You know, they, even though they were looking for a gentleman who was 6'2", 200 pounds, white, covered in tattoos, wears eyeglasses, has green eyes, and I'm a...
So you just lost me. So when you went in front of the CRC, they sided with you or they sided with the police?
The CRC sided with me.
Okay.
The city council
sided with the police.
Right.
Right. So they reversed the findings that came out of the CRC, they didn't support
the findings. Didn't support the findings,
okay,
right.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense now. All right, so... That was back in 2001. So now you're back. It's now 2017. And what's going to happen at the city council when you go back?
I intend on giving them, as well as any media that so chooses to come and listen, basically the evidence showing that the police have given me a false record. The mayor at the time, Vera Katz, read a statement from one of my witnesses, and basically it was altered. It was changed from the actual statement. And I have the hearing testimony. I have my witness testimony. So I plan on, you know, airing the light that false statements were read during that proceeding to discredit me.
So since 1999, how has this impacted your life?
Well, I mean, before this incident, I was, you know, looking at going to college, looking at, you know, fulfilling some of my dreams of wrestling, continuing wrestling in college, and instead of, you know, being able to get my degree, I've been, you know, dealing with police corruption and repeatedly for the past, you know, almost going on 20 years now. Mm-hmm. So
let me go back and ask you another question. When you, in 2001, accepted under duress this settlement.
I never accepted it.
So you never actually got a physical.
I never signed anything.
You never signed anything. They never gave you a check.
No.
So where is that whole process?
Like I said, my attorney sued me over the check. The city forced through the settlement agreement. They denied me the ability to fire my attorney, and, you know, basically forced everything through. They wanted to, do away with my lawsuit.
Did your lawyer get the check? I mean, who got the check?
I assume he got the check. You know, I never got the check. I never saw the check. So my attorney sued me because I wouldn't sign the check and authorize it, because I wouldn't accept the settlement agreement. So.
And so he sued you? Did you go to court?
Yeah.
And,
let's see.
Okay, think about that. You can come back to that. But we have a caller on the line.
Sure.
Good morning. Good morning, Deanna. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Thank you very much, Joanne. And thank you, Mr. Is it Mark Bono?
Merrick Bono.
Thank you. What I want to know is, do you know whether at that 9:30 May 10th hearing with the city council, the public will be allowed to come in and support you?
Well, I'm not sure because they're changing that whole process right now. I believe you have to get a ticket now to enter the city council, or at least that's what I've been told within the past week. So I'm trying to have a rally as well as trying to set up a march surrounding this whole, hearing because...
Yeah.
You know, I believe as citizens, we're innocent until proven guilty, and that's what the rally is, you know, about. It's about us all being innocent until proven guilty. So I believe if you sign up for a ticket, you probably could come in and enter and watch. I would like as many people there as possible. You know, I intend on releasing all this, the evidence of my having a false arrest record, the evidence of, you know... basically city council being lied to, I'm looking for support for sure.
Thank you. Well, I just would like to know, we'll look on the line and find out. I know there are hundreds of people who would like to be there to support you, and I am one.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Merrick, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say, yeah, if you'd like to get into contact with me, you can reach me at my Hotmail. It's my name, MerrickBineau@hotmail.com.
And you should spell your name because I'm sure people aren't going to get it on their own.
It's MerrickBonneau@hotmail.com.
Excellent. We're going to go back to the phone line. Nope. Oh, my bad. Okay. So, I'm just trying to figure out like what's the thread here, right? So, there have been several false arrests, and my understanding is once you've been found not guilty, it's supposed to go away, right? And you're saying that at any time that you are stopped, if someone pulls your name up on a police file, what they see is someone who has a violent background, right?
Right.
But not based on anything you have been convicted of, but just based on what police have charged once they have stopped and detained you in some way.
Right, right.
And so again, I want to ask what's the city council's role in this hearing, and what are your specific asks of the city council?
Well, it was the city who was charged with authorizing the settlement agreement based on the settlement check.
Right.
So because they were the ones responsible for authorizing the settlement, and I attempted to repudiate the settlement, I wanted to go before the city council and show them that there's been fraud committed, basically.
And so this is appealing the forced settlement, right, is what you're saying?
The forced settlement has happened. It's in the past. There's, nothing I can do about that. That's, been so long ago. But, I never accepted the settlement. I did countersue my attorney with respect to the settlement. He sued me because I wouldn't accept the settlement, and the city just forced it through, despite my informing the city of myself being under duress, that I was under duress because of the my attorney's involvement, because of the judge's involvement.
How did you inform the city? Did you send a written letter?
I informed them at the city council hearing. I told them.
That just sounds... I don't know what to make of that. I don't understand how you can be the one entitled to a settlement check, but you don't see it ever, but your attorney mysteriously gets paid.
Well, my attorney, this came out after the fact, but my attorney, and was a part of my suit. My attorney was actually being pressured by the city before the settlement conference I went to. He was going to be called as a witness against me in my trial based on his malpractice. He was alleging that his representation of me in my one count misdemeanor resist arrest charge was over almost $56,000, and the city called him out on that. Basically said that, it was ridiculous. I mean, he double billed me. He billed me for things I shouldn't have been billed for.
Right.
And I've been told by other attorneys that this was a potential like $5,000 to $10,000 case. It shouldn't have cost much more than that to represent it. So the city was going to call him as a witness against me. And, obviously that put a lot of pressure on my attorney and, mm-hmm.
So you will be in front of the Portland City Council on May 10th
right.
at 9:30 a.m. during the regular city council meeting. You are hoping that community members will come out and be there in support. Right. When's the rally? Where's the rally?
It's at City Hall. Hopefully by then, City Council will be back at City Hall instead of where it's at now. I've been told most likely that would be the case. So
that they'd be back at City Hall?
Back at City Hall by then. So, I'm basically trying to gather support, and I plan on releasing, this evidence, and, I plan on putting out a press release and letting everybody know when it's happening and, you know.
So what's the best case scenario? What's success on May 10th? What does that look like?
That this criminal activity against me comes to light. For me, I mean, I don't really know what city council is going to be able to do. You know, I just want there to be support. There needs to be a change. You know, I shouldn't be an innocent individual who's never been convicted of a crime, and yet they have me basically on my arrest record look like a violent felon who lies about his identity. They have two different aliases on me. You know, I've got multiple false charges on my arrest record that I can prove I was never charged with. You know, they've mischaracterized me completely, and you know, it's a crime. It's a crime what they do. You know, I've yet to see police reports of cases that I've been involved in where the police are actually honest in their police reports. Mm. You know, and if the police are starting out a case with writing false police reports, the general public just really doesn't have much of a chance, you know, because the police already are given more credibility than the general public, you know.
Well, I'm sorry that you've had this experience. I hope your city council experience serves the purpose that you want it to serve.
Right.
It sounds like this is the first time I've heard the story, and it isn't, right? Because you and I've talked before, but it still boggles my mind to think that this has been your lived experience since 1999.
Right.
So I hope that you are successful with the city council. I hope that they are responsive to your request. And again, if you want to give people your email, we're like at our last minute, so
sure.
People can contact you.
You can contact me at merrickbonneau@hotmail.com, MERRICKBONNEAU. And I'm also the chief sponsor for the hemp party, so I need, you know, in the signature gathering stage. So if there's anybody who'd like to help me gather signatures to help form the hemp party.
What is the hemp party?
It's a political party I'm starting. Yeah.
You're starting a political, and what's the mission of the hemp party?
It's to, you know, ultimately change the way we look at and to change the legislation surrounding cannabis hemp. You know, right now, cannabis can basically save our planet, take us off all the polluting industries that we currently have running our system, and put us on ones that are renewable and viable. And, you know.
Well, that sounds like another whole new conversation.
It's a whole different story.
Yeah,
there.
My name is Merrick Bonneau. I'm meeting with Commissioner Saltzman. Today is April the 10th, 1:30 p.m. Okay, so the reason I...
This is for KBOO?
No, I just borrowed the recorder.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't have one myself. And
okay.
So I thought it'd make it a little easier.
Okay.
Now, I'm sure you probably remember me. My case rose before you. Police brutality in 99. Okay, and
99?
Back in 99, yes. And I filed an ID complaint, and it rose through to city council level. I was the first case to go before city council.
Okay.
That was in 2001.
2001? Okay.
Yeah. So.
Here. Apologize, I don't remember.
No, it's okay. I'm sure you're... Yeah. Been dealing with this type of stuff forever, so
yeah.
For years. So here's the ticket of my initial arrest, which was for resisting arrest. Here's the, you know, from the city attorney's office, charge saying that they're going to charge me. Here is the disposition of the case. I was found not guilty in a jury trial.
Go ahead.
So when I got arrested my second time, which I was trying to help a dog, and brought food and water, guy ended up jumping out from behind a vehicle and held me at gunpoint, tied me up, put me on the ground.
Police officer, I assume, is what you're saying, or
no?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just
some guy that some was guy. Oh, okay. out of a abandoned vehicle on the property.
Oh, just okay.
Popped out of a vehicle, pointing a gun at me, ended up tying me up. Huh. Shot the gun off down next to my head, shot it off up in the air. Hmm. So when the police ultimately came, I was the one arrested.
Okay.
They confiscated his gun, confiscated the bullet. And so I was sitting in the back of the police car. And while I was there, I had a chance to look at what they had on my arrest record. And I saw that I was they put an alias of Mitch on my name.
Mm-hmm.
I've never used an alias before.
Mm-hmm.
So I received this on 6/26/03. That was, the initial arrest was the 9th. It was for resisting arrest.
Mm-hmm.
So for this first case, I was arrested for resisting arrest, prosecuted for resisting arrest, found not guilty for resisting arrest,
mm-hmm.
and they put an assault on my record. So I didn't know that they put an assault on my record until after this arrest when I got this record.
Mm-hmm.
My attorney never got this for me, my previous attorney. This was new information that they put a false assault charge on my record when I was charged and found not guilty for resisting arrest. Now, this resist arrest charge was supposed to be expunged as per a settlement agreement that the city had with me. Mm-hmm. I attempted to repudiate the settlement. I fired my attorney.
Mm-hmm.
The city would not allow me to fire my attorney.
Mm-hmm.
The city forced through the settlement agreement, even though I tried to have it set aside. And so a part of that was an expungement of my arrest record. I'm trying to show you the transcript. The portion of the thing that states that the city was supposed to expunge my record as a part of the settlement agreement. Obviously, as of 6/3, they had not expunged my record because this was the record they were supposed to expunge.
Mm-hmm.
So the city has not followed through with the settlement agreement. Okay. So I got my third arrest this last year. My first vacation I ever took, I went to New York, took Amtrak, came back.
Mm-hmm.
There was a DEA and Homeland Security sting at the Amtrak station.
Mm-hmm.
I would not consent to a search,
mm-hmm.
so they arrested me. So after my arrest, I had gotten this record the next day. This is my most recent arrest record. I want to point out a couple things on these two arrest records.
Okay.
They have me as a black individual. Obviously, I'm not black, I'm colored, I'm mixed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They put special indicators that I resist arrest. They put a false license number down. Mine is 398, not 378.
Mm-hmm.
They put, obviously, an alias Mitch. I've never gone by an alias in my life. They put a false charge of assault on my record. So when I got this one, I was shocked to see that now I was charged with this trespassing charge when I was never initially charged with trespassing.
Mm-hmm.
This record I have, 6/26/03, states that my only involvement is an arrest, mm-hmm. of this charge. And that was 6/9/03.
Mm-hmm.
So after this arrest, I decided to get a copy of this charge, the disposition of the case summary, right? So upon this charge, the second charge, I was not ticketed, I was not booked, I was not fingerprinted, was not photographed. I was basically let go after 3-4 hours of interrogation with the understanding that they had 2 years to charge me, and so that's how they left it.
That was the 03 event?
03 event.
Yeah, okay.
So after I got this, I realized that they had actually charged me. So I got this, and it shows that they made the ticket after they filed it, right? They created the ticket on 6/18/03. I was arrested on 6/9/03, and they had already dismissed it by 7-3. So within basically 3 weeks of my being arrested, they had already sent it to, and there's no judge involved in the whole process. Mm-hmm. So basically a false charge, another false charge was put on my arrest record because I was not ticketed, I was not aware of it. So, you know, when right in the middle of the whole proceeding, they still have me as involvement arrested. So I had no clue that I was being charged. So I at this point have the two charges on my record, the only two charges on my record are false charges because I was never charged with assault and I was never ticketed with this. So I have currently have two false charges on my record. So at the time I got this record, they had not updated my the arrest record for the arrest of last year. I had gotten arrested on the 13th. I had picked and got this the next day on the 14th, and they had still not updated it. So
that was the train station?
That was the train station. So about 11 days later, I got 11 days later, I got this, and they had changed my race to white. And also with respect to this, they have erased my address that I lived at for over 10 years and currently live at now. They changed my alias from Mitch to Murek Banur, and I've never used either name. So currently I'm being, you know what I mean? It's absolutely ridiculous, you know what I mean, all of this. And then, so I ultimately ended up getting the records from the police regarding my most recent charge, and they have me as a white individual here as of the 13th. So they basically put me as a white man after this arrest. I was interrogated for over 6.5 hours. So I was not found with anything. There's no charges on me. There's nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Simple. And they repeatedly told me that they were not going to let me go without signing a consent to search form. Okay. So currently I'm sitting at, I've never been convicted of a crime in my life. You know what I mean? And I have two false charges on my record. As far as I know, assault is a felony, as opposed to the misdemeanor resist arrest charge that I was originally charged with. So I've been, my record's been trumped up, falsified, multiple different aliases, changing my race, and you know, and all I did the initial time was answer my door. You know what I'm saying? They were looking for an individual who was 6'2", 200 pounds, white, covered in tattoos, hazel green eyes, wears glasses.
Yeah, now it's starting to come back to me.
And they grabbed me.
Right, right, yes. Okay. Now it's coming back.
So this keeps following me, you know.
Was it your brother they were looking for?
Half brother, Mitch.
Half brother, yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, he they were supposed to pick him up at work. They show up at my house. I didn't know they were coming to my house. Knock on my door. I answer it. They ask me if my name is Mark. I say, no, my name is Merrick.
Yeah.
And they grab me and arrest me and slam me down, hog tie me. I end up losing a full wrestling scholarship over this. You know, this, these things have destroyed my life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And mischaracterized me as a violent person who lies about his identity. You know, so that's where.
So have you attempted to get an attorney to help you get your record straight?
Well, see, a part of it is the city was supposed to expunge the record.
So what would you like me to do, Mr. Merrick?
Well, right now I'm currently...
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
Right now I'm currently scheduled to go before City Council on May 10th.
Oh, yeah? May 10th?
May 10th.
Okay.
I plan on giving this information out to City Council so they understand what I've been going through, that the city hasn't followed through with their settlement agreement, that I have multiple false charges on my arrest record, and, you know, basically I have 3 minutes. You know what I mean? Because I'm on the...
Oh, you're on the public testimony part of the
testimony.
Right. Okay, not like an IPR case.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that's already long since handled.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
So what I'm asking is I would like to maybe see if you would share your platform with me. I know you have the ability to actually put, you know, people on the agenda that you can actually, you know, have a real meeting with them and talk to them about it, as opposed to just being on the minutes. So.
Well, I mean, if we have a that period you signed up for is for
right.
anybody in the public to come talk to us for 3 minutes about anything.
Right.
But then everything else, you know, on the agenda is like, you know, a city item that we have to pass. Or,
right.
And so there's, you know, people can testify on the item at hand.
Right.
And as you probably know, we've had trouble lately with people sticking to the agenda.
Yeah, I was there a couple week ago
you know what I'm talking about.
I saw it over at the other, I couldn't stay long, but yeah, so you guys definitely.
So yeah, I mean, I can't. There's nothing I can do to give you more time on the agenda. That's pretty much. But you can always, you know, submit something in writing. And,
well, I plan to, you know, bring all this and have packets available so everybody can look at it.
3 minutes go real fast.
I know it does.
Yeah.
I know it does. And that's, you know, I was hoping that you could maybe put me on the agenda, or, you know, I don't know what the procedures are for getting on the agenda or what. So that I'd come and talk to you about it. I wanted to talk to you about all this before I went to city council because, you know, you're the only council member that was actually on council at the time of all of this stuff. So
I mean, I'm certainly happy to check into whether we followed through on our duty to get your record expunged. I mean, that much I can do.
Right. I appreciate that. I mean, obviously they haven't because it's still there.
I
mean, I only got a few more minutes. This is a real brief statement, so it's not like it's going to be very long. I just wanted to show you it because it was.
Did you get what you needed from this?
I think so. I mean, I've got your name and I know the date and the Bill Manlove's on there.
Oh, Bill Manlove? Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
So I think we can track it down. I may call you to get copies of some of that if I can't figure out on our end what we can do.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
I have no problem furnishing copies. It's just been, you know, ridiculous. It's been, you know, I mean, I don't know if you, I mean, you were the police commissioner at one point. You're not now, I understand. But
not now.
But
and I wasn't during 2003 either. But
right.
I was but, 2009, 2010.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know if you really recognize, or if the city recognizes, or the police recognize how much what they do impacts the public.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But it you know, it has a tendency to destroy people's lives.
Yeah.
And to mischaracterize them and to hurt them for basically ever. You know, I was I was looking at going to college and having a, you know, good wrestling career, and I get arrested for being the wrong guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And maliciously arrested. You know, they knew the whole time that I wasn't the right guy. You know? I mean, it was apparent. You know, you can't look for someone who's 6'2", 200 pounds, white, covered in tattoos, wears green eyes, wears glasses, tattoo on his neck, tattoo on his head. And you grab me, I'm 150 brown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
5'9", I mean. So. Okay, so we're just about there. It up right here. Why is that not very loud? Maybe I got the wrong one.
Or however you want to do it. So I'm going to open it up now for questions on the part of the council. But let me ask a question if nobody's has one.
So listen.
Mrs. Huxford was interviewed. And she stated that she visited Mr. Bonneau a few days following the incident, and he told her that the police had come to his door and asked him if he was Mitch Bonneau.
So that's the statement she read. I did not have this at the time, did not have access to it. You know, my attorney had it.
Yeah.
Here's the actual statement that Kay Huxford said.
So she saw Ms. Huxford saw the whole thing.
Yeah, she was a witness. One of the witnesses. She testified in court. This is her only deposition that she gave. Mm-hmm. So this was what was taken, what Vera's talking about.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, basically, you know, they lied in open counsel. You know what I mean? They misrepresented truth. They changed a witness statement.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all to characterize me as a liar, all to mischaracterize me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was no way I could refute it. You guys didn't allow me a chance to refute anything at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have a copy of the deposition. Mm-hmm. Kay wasn't there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, false statements are basically being entered into evidence, mm-hmm. you know, to try and exonerate the police. And to make me look bad, and that was the case here,
mm-hmm.
you know. And you know, how much trust can I have? Yeah. Where can I have any trust if the statements of my own witnesses are changed?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I wanted to see justice, and all I've seen is corruption, and it's hurt me to my very core.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Well, I'm sorry for what's happened. You know, it's obviously had an impact on your career.
It's destroyed my life.
Yeah,
it's
your life.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm a good person. I take care of my mom. You know what I mean? I'm a home caregiver. You know,
yeah.
So, you know, being the one official that is still in. Involved with city council that, you know, saw all this, I wanted to show you it, that, you know, you were lied to, you know, the city was lied to, you know, everybody was lied to with respect to my witness and what was stated, you know. You know, I have the whole trial, you know what I mean? I have the entire trial on tape, you know, I have all the different tapes of all the different city council stuff, you know, I have, you know, this honestly is the tip of the iceberg. Of the corruption I have and the corruption I can prove, and it's, you know, but who do I trust? Who do I go to?
Well, like I said, I'm happy to follow up on whether we expunged your records. That's what we're supposed to do, and let you know what I find out.
Well, obviously you haven't, because it's still on my record. You know what I mean? I mean, this right here shouldn't be there if it was going to be expunged, because that's related to September 4th, 1999.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This it shouldn't show up right here. It should be expunged. There should be no assault. There should be nothing. It shouldn't, you know. So.
Yeah, I'm just.
And then, one was dismissed and one was found not guilty. Does it show that? No. It looks like I'm still a criminal. It looks like I was found guilty. You know, there's nothing that shows this was dismissed. There's nothing that shows that this was, or this.
Yeah, if I recall, and I could be wrong about this, but I think. There's one police database where it's not necessarily stuff that you have to be arrested and convicted for. Just if you enter their universe in some way, it gets entered into a database under your name.
Right.
So they call up things, and even if you've never been arrested or convicted, it doesn't matter. It's just a database. Is that about the PPDS system?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the same as a criminal record, but it's sort of the.
But it's what the police look at when they arrest me. They're not looking at my conviction record. You know, they're looking at my arrest. So they're.
Yeah.
You know.
So when I talk about looking into your expungement, it would be from. I think it'd be from your conviction record. It could be from our database, but
I would think it would be. I mean, how, you know, how good is an expungement if the police are still looking at it every time I.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you know,
No. Yeah, and I'm not sure I have the same thing I can do about that part, but I'll definitely check in to make sure that we did what we needed to do to expunge your record from your criminal record.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know, not much I can do about what the police collect data on.
Right. Yeah, I know that's not your purview, so. Yeah. But, you know,
okay.
I just.
Well, do we have your contact information?
I think so.
You should.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let us look into it, and we'll let you know.
Thank you. We'll appreciate it.
But then also see you on the 10th.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So where do you live now? In Northeast 133rd or something?
No, I still live on the address that they erased, 6111.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like,
it totally changed your life on a piece of paper.
Well, look, you know what I mean? Like, I lived here, there for over 10 years, and it's not on my record anymore. Like, why would they take away my... there's so many different things that are ridiculous. It's insane. So, you know.
Well, my advice to you on the 10th is, you know, I would
make it quick and brief.
Yeah, and you know, go through it a couple times before you start testifying, just so you know where the time.
Right. For sure.
Like I said, it goes real fast.
Yeah. For sure.
And you have a lot of information you want to try to convey to us. So
right.
To the extent you can make it concise.
It'll help.
It'll help. Yeah.
I'll do that. I'll do as best I can, obviously. You know.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
It is very easy for the police to just arrest people nowadays. You know what I mean? It's very easy for citizens to be going about their daily lives and then to all of a sudden be, you know, placed in a situation where now they have to defend themselves. Now they have to, you know, say, hey, you know, this isn't what happened, this is what happened. And unfortunately, the police are given more authority. They're given more credence and credibility to what they say and to the reports they write. So, you know, it's unfair to begin with, you know, and it's a violation of our Fourth Amendment rights, you know, because, again, we are free, excuse me, again, we are innocent until proven guilty, you know, and that's what for me, what it boils down to. You know, at any point in time, if I hadn't have been found not guilty right now for resisting arrest, I would have a resist arrest charge on my record, you know what I mean, and that would follow me for the rest of my life. You know, I was very lucky that I had my neighbors that were